Tom proposed when he found out I was pregnant. I thought I wanted to marry him, but I am seeing some troubling signs. For example, he never finished college and sometimes makes comments about how I have so much education and all I have to show for it is debt. Or the last few times we've gone out to dinner, he's made comments about how I never offered to pay. He knows I'm doing all I can between going to school and holding a part-time job. Lately, I've been very tired because of the pregnancy, and it seems he's picking fights and I'm too exhausted to argue. Now I'm having second thoughts about marrying him and even having the baby. Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy. Hello, viewers and listeners. Our topic for today is...
I'm pregnant and engaged, but I have doubts about both.
Oh, my. And we'll talk about the origin of this, which is interesting. I think interesting. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And, of course, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in this one.
Yes, there is.
Many different things coming together, as so often happens in my office, I must say. Before we do that, we have all kinds of exciting things to talk about here.
Yes, we do.
First of all, I've been on something of a book publishing binge. It's a little bit ridiculous, but whatever.
Why not?
Let's first of all talk about the books that originally got this thing started. First of all, there is...
Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
Yes, indeed. That was the book that started all of this. Widely available, of course. Well, all of these are available on Amazon. And that particular book available really any place, as is this book, my more recent book.
It's Not a Bad Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy is Wrong.
Indeed. Now, that one just came out a few months ago as of this recording. We're recording this in May of 2023. And while I was on it, mostly because I saw how relatively easy it is to do this, I decided to put out a couple of booklets. I'm calling them booklets because they're a lot shorter. First of all...
And they're also dealing with one topic.
And they're dealing, yeah, they're a more specific, narrowly focused books. First of all, there's this one.
7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life.
Exactly. 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life, which if you are watching this, of course, or hearing this, anybody, you can get this any place books are sold. Actually, you can get this, I think, from Amazon. I'm not sure you can get it any place books are sold, but you can definitely get it from Amazon. And the thing is, this particular book, if you want it in hard copy, the one I'm holding here, which I think has a rather lovely cover, if I do say so myself, then you'll need to buy that from Amazon. Go ahead and get that. If you want to see the contents of this book, however, you don't need to buy it.
No.
What kind of a thing is that for a book author
to say? You don't need to buy it.
No, because I'll give it to you for free. I won't give you a hard copy for free, but I will give you the contents of this book for free in the form of a PDF file.
Wow. How does that happen?
How does that happen? All you have to do is you can go to our website, which you'll notice, those of you who are viewing this, you'll see it up above our heads, ctn7.com, that's the number 7, ctn7.com, and you'll see a box magically appear, and that box says something to the effect of, click here to sign up for Dr. Chalmers' newsletter.
Uh-huh.
When you sign up for my newsletter, which is a fine newsletter, issue number 10 is going to come out, and when you get the newsletter, you'll have access to all the back issues as well. It's a really neat newsletter. I have a tip of the day. I have a big idea section. I have news about, you know, whatever else is going on in my life. This particular one that's about to go out, I'm going to mention something about my musical life, which I haven't put in the newsletter before. Just interesting, I think, interesting stuff. So do our readers seem to think that. We're getting feedback. And when you sign up for that, you will get absolutely free a link to get a hold of this book, or the contents of this book, 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life. And, you know, 7 Words, of course, is the same 7 words that comes from our podcast title.
Right. Couples Therapy in 7 Words. Be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith. And how that applies to jumpstarting your love life, if that's an issue of interest to you.
Well, some people do need to jumpstart.
And even people who are enjoying their love life might enjoy it even more.
That's right. They can. Everybody can always use a little battery recharge.
Absolutely. So you will find how our seven words map onto that in this nice little booklet. And it's, you know, it's rather short and sassy, and you'll enjoy reading that. All you have to do to get that for free is sign up for my newsletter. Now, the other booklet that I have recently produced is called
My Husband Complains About My Cleaning. What do I do? Hint, it's not about cleaning.
Yes. Now, why would I write a book with that specific a topic? Well, because we had a blog post like 4 years ago, I think it was, that specifically dealt with this based on a listener question. Or it wasn't a listener at that point. It was before we even
had
the podcast.
That's right. It was pre.
It was on the blog. It was somebody who saw the blog and asked that question. And I've noticed so many people searching for that topic that leads them to that particular blog post. So I'm thinking there's a lot of folks out there who are having this issue. And it's a painful issue.
A lot of kvetchy husbands.
A lot of kvetchy husbands and a lot of distressed wives.
Yes.
And that's, you know, the people searching for this are overwhelmingly women who are finding that their husbands are not being very nice about the whole cleaning thing. And of course, I did not write a book about cleaning tips, did I?
No, you didn't.
That would not make a great deal of sense. You could comment on that. Right? I'm the wrong one to write that
I'm
book.
I'm the wrong one too.
But I think I am the right one to write a book about relationship issues. And that really, it's a relationship issue. And I don't mean to make light of it, because the people who are writing and doing these searches are in genuine distress.
Yes, they are.
And you'll see when you read this book, another sort of, you know, short, sassy book, it actually includes a chapter specifically for husbands. So if you are one of the husbands whose wife is the one, you know, doing that kind of search, you'll want to read this. Or if you're one of the wives, you'll want to have your husband read it. And it also includes a chapter on how to get your reluctant guy to try couples therapy, which often is one of the ways to deal with these sorts of problems. Anyway, check out that book as well. That is available on Amazon. It's available as an ebook. It's available as the hard copy that I'm holding in my hand here. And it is available as an audiobook, as is The Seven Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life, by the way. If you want to hear that, go to Amazon. You'll find it. Just search for Dr. Bruce Chalmer and you'll find all my books on there. So much for all the books.
Okay.
Let's also put in a word while we're here talking about our podcast for our
merch.
Those of you viewing this are seeing our beautiful Couples Therapy in Seven Words mugs in the 15 and 11 ounce sizes. And on one side they have
our beautiful logo, Couples Therapy in Seven Words. And on the other side, our, what is it, a motto?
Our motto, slogan, whatever
slogan,
you call it.
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
Yes, the seven words being referred to in that title. And I think it's a rather nice mug. It's a lovely mug. And, you know, I keep forgetting when we're recording this, I keep forgetting to bring the tote bag.
Oh, so that's right. We have our beautiful tote bag.
We have a beautiful tote bag, same, you know, same design.
Nice t-shirts.
And nice t-shirts as well.
But that tote bag is beautiful.
We use it all the time.
Very sturdy and it's lightweight.
And people ask us about it, of course. They'll say, ooh, look at that. Ooh. You know, it's striking. And of course, it has an interesting message on it as well. So much for all of that. Let's get into our topic
du
jour.
Right. Our topic du jour. I'm pregnant and engaged, but I have doubts about both.
Yes. Now, how, where'd that come from? Well.
Excuse me.
Yes, indeed. That same blog that I mentioned a little while ago, one of the very first questions we got on that blog was this particular question coming from someone who called herself Terry. And we'll read the letter in a moment. And it hits on so many different topics that are just big ones in my office all the time. And big ones for folks out there who have any interest in a, you know, in a relationship podcast. So should we go ahead and read the letter and
sure.
take it from there?
Let me pull it over
to
our screen here. Terry writes, I'm a 26-year-old woman in graduate school. I've been dating Tom for 2 years. He has a good job and makes a good living. I found out I'm pregnant and we're both excited about having a baby. Here's the problem. Tom proposed when he found out I was pregnant. I thought I wanted to marry him, but I am seeing some troubling signs. For example, He never finished college and sometimes makes comments about how I have so much education and all I have to show for it is debt. Or the last few times we've gone out to dinner, he's made comments about how I never offered to pay. He knows I'm doing all I can between going to school and holding a part-time job. Lately, I've been very tired because of the pregnancy, and it seems he's picking fights and I'm too exhausted to argue. Now I'm having second thoughts about marrying him and even having the baby. I'm so confused and I don't know where to turn. I don't have any close friends here, and my parents aren't very supportive of anything I do. In fact, like Tom, they think I'm wasting my money by taking on more debt for grad school and not getting a real job. Help!
Indeed.
Okay.
Now, let me put this in some context, first of all. Okay. We got this 4 years ago from someone we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to pretend like we're giving someone advice. Well, in a moment, I'm going to pretend like we're giving someone advice in a moment. But I just want to be transparent about that. You know, we really don't know how this turned out, in
right.
fact. But, you know, let's take this as a question as it was at the time, you know, when it was first submitted to us. Here is someone dealing with some serious doubts and, problems. And, well, let me ask you, Judy, you know, what's your gut tell you about this?
Oh, it's tough. First of all, it's really tough being a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough going through a pregnancy, and it sounds like she's probably farther along than, I don't know, maybe if, she doesn't say about, she says she's not sure about having the baby.
Yeah, that would imply it's not that far along.
Right. So yeah. Either having an abortion or putting it up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are very difficult choices.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tom knows she's pregnant, so he wants a say in that, mm-hmm. what she goes through. And, I see the red flags popping up,
mm-hmm.
right here. If he's putting her down because of her education, mm-hmm. and he feels inadequate because of a lack of it,
mm-hmm.
if he is having unrealistic expectations of her financially,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to get better.
Ah, interesting. So you're seeing red flags.
I'm seeing a lot of red flags there.
Yeah.
You know, this is a woman that comes from a background where education wasn't highly valued. She says her parents aren't mm-hmm. supportive of what she's doing.
Yeah.
Everybody sees this as taking on debt rather than going forward and a way to make a better life for herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one that has her eyes on the prize,
mm-hmm.
and she's being dragged down by the people that should be giving her the biggest support,
yeah.
those that are the closest to her, that love her the most,
mm-hmm.
hopefully,
yeah.
her parents and her fiance or boyfriend. Not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good sign.
So, and I'm sitting here thinking everything you're saying totally makes sense to me. That's like, I'm seeing those same red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that,
mm-hmm.
I want to put in a word.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at that carefully,
mm-hmm.
because that phenomenon, maybe I'll generalize this a little bit more, you know?
Okay.
I'm sure you know this from folks you've known over the years. And most people who are hearing this know this from folks they don't know, known over the years. You know somebody, let's say a woman, mm-hmm. you know a woman who's involved with somebody and you are a friend and you're thinking, oh my God, she's ignoring the red flags,
mm-hmm.
right? And so all the friends are saying, if you know, they're wrestling with themselves, how much should I say about this? But they're all basically saying red flags, red flags, red flags,
mm-hmm.
right? They're all telling her red flags. Usually, well, is it an overstatement? I'll say it anyway.
Okay.
Usually when you point out the red flags to someone in that situation, it doesn't really help her very much. Now, mm-hmm. Why do you think that's true?
Oh, well, because she's in a situation that's really difficult. She's in love with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you think things are going to change when you're in love with the guy.
May I add something else?
Yeah.
She already knows the red flags.
Yeah.
She's writing to, you know, wrote to us,
mm-hmm.
knowing perfectly well the red flags. She's not unaware of the red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And to simply point out the stuff that she already knows rarely does somebody any good. The thing that the thing that people need in this situation is recognition of how difficult it is.
Yeah.
This isn't a slam dunk. And
no.
Even the ones where, oh my God, again, you probably know this with friends or whatever, and I see it in the office. Somebody who is being abused, you know, this, would you call this abuse or not? I don't know. It depends on who's telling the story. But, you know, then there's the ones about, oh my God, she's being beaten up.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like an obvious, like, oh, obviously you have to get it. Of course that's true. But telling her that,
yeah,
engaging that way rarely does a heck of a lot of good.
Well, I'm just wondering if we can turn Tom around on this one.
Well, so let me come back to that.
Okay.
So what I want to put in a word for is, first of all, why this is so difficult. Mm-hmm. Rather than telling her what she ought to do about this, mm-hmm, I would go with, wow, I see why this is difficult, because she's intelligent. She's not crazy, right? She's sane, she's intelligent, and she's good-hearted. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those are my usual beginning assumptions with folks,
right,
until proven otherwise, and it rarely is. And so if that's true, wow, this just must be difficult. Now, again, just saying this must be difficult, that's not enough. But let's look at why this is so difficult, and that will help her sort this out. That would be the approach I'd be taking. And you're absolutely right. Inviting Tom into this possibility is also good. But I want to slow it down a little.
Okay.
Seems to me, well, again, you know, not to mansplain to the woman in the conversation, you know.
But go ahead.
Yeah, but go ahead. I'm not going to mansplain. I'm going to imagine.
You're going to be therapist-splain.
I'll be therapist-splaining, yeah. No, I'm just imagining. Look, I'm not. I've never been pregnant. You know, I'm imagining it. It's like, oh my God, the most pressing issue here would seem to me, do you want to end the pregnancy or not, if that's mm-hmm an option. Mm-hmm. Now, she didn't say, is that an option for her? She said she has doubts about even having the baby.
Right.
That sounds like abortion's an option. Mm-hmm. So if she considers abortion an option, I would think that is the most time critical of all of the things here.
Right.
In fact, it's the only thing there that is really time critical, mm-hmm, that you have a limited amount of time to make that kind of decision in any reasonable way. And I'm leaving, never mind all the legal stuff that's going on, mm-hmm, around that. That's the most pressing thing. And she's going to have to make some decisions around that sooner rather than later. And here again, I don't know how in the hell you make a decision like that. It must be difficult. And there are so many, and here I am talking to an actual woman who is in fact a mother, right? How does one make a decision like that? It's got to be difficult, right?
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Of course.
I forgot what the proportion of women who have had abortions is. But it's not small. Mm-hmm. What is it? A third? Close to half? I mean, it's
a large number.
It's a large number of folks. So many, many, many women have actually made the decision to do that. Mm-hmm. Many, many, many more women than that have considered it. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, that's got to be the most pressing one. And the considerations around that, again, you would know them better than I would. I mean, we can imagine them, you know. Would she be able to be a single mom?
Yeah.
Is that an option for her if she decides that, you know, she doesn't want to stay with Tom? So I almost want to say, well, okay, so there's that she's going to have to figure out. Whatever she does with that, she also is having serious doubts about whether she actually wants to go ahead and marry Tom. Mm-hmm. And this is where all the red flags you identified totally make sense to me. It's like, oh my God, are you being dismissed? You know, I do want to put in some empathy for Tom here, in ways that maybe will be useful for Terry. Mm-hmm. If he's saying, you know, he'll make his comments about all you have is education, and you have all this education and all you have to show for it is debt. Mm-hmm. He's talking about marrying her. Interesting, he didn't propose to her until she was pregnant.
Right.
That's an interesting sign, right, as well. But doesn't necessarily mean it's a sinister prospect. It means, you know, on some level he wants to do the right thing. That's an old-fashioned concept. Mm-hmm. But I happen to respect it. Mm-hmm. I think the notion of marrying someone to do the right thing is not a bad thing at all.
Right.
I have worked with folks in that generation, by the way. You know, I'm not just talking about folks in our generation. I've worked with folks in their 20s or 30s who have been in that exact situation and have got married because of a pregnancy, who have said to me in early sessions, have said, you know, we don't know if we would have stayed together, but when she got pregnant, we decided to get married. Mm-hmm. I absolutely respect that. That's as good a reason as many others. So they want to do that right thing. And they're both excited about having a baby. So it's, right, not like they're thinking, oh my God, we don't want to have a baby, we're not ready. That's like, nope, that's all to the good. The death thing, if you're going to marry somebody, it's not weird to worry about their debt level.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I just saw an article. Was it an article? Oh, no, I know what it was. It was, you know, the social cues column in the New York Times,
uh-huh.
You know, Philip Galanis.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that column.
You know? I do too.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't always agree with him, but I find I mostly do. But in any case, he had a, just the other day, I read one where the questioner was saying, my fiance, it was a woman writing about her male fiance, and he wanted a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
And she was offended by the concept. She said, I've always paid my own way. You know, what's the deal? And I thought Philip Galanis's response was really very thoughtful because he said, in effect, no, don't freak out about this. You know, talk about it. Don't freak out because it's not, you know, divorce happens about 40% of the time in first marriages. So, you know, the current statistics. So don't be offended by it. You should be able to talk about this.
Right.
And, you know, it isn't a weird
thing. If you can't, you shouldn't be getting married.
Well, that's basically what he said. Uh-huh. If you can't talk about this, you'll have other problems. So
maybe I should get a job as a social cues columnist.
Maybe you should. I think you'd be great, actually. But, and it's interesting because Philip Galanis, I'm pretty sure, is not like a therapist or anything
right.
like that.
Yeah. Right.
But in any case, that notion that, you know, Tom's kind of freaking out about, look, student debt, as if I needed to explain to listeners out there, student debt is a big deal these days.
Right.
And it can be oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Tom to say, okay, I'm going to marry you, I'm kind of antsy about that debt.
Yeah.
Now, again, they ought to be able to talk about it. And one of the troublesome signs is he's making comments as opposed to talking about it.
Right.
You know, he's kind of putting her down a little. And that, to me, what that suggests is, and this gets around to your idea that says we need to kind of bring Tom into this.
Mm-hmm.
That's where what I'd be saying to Terry or inviting Terry to consider is, can you bring this up with Tom, not in an argument fashion or not because you're offended by what he's saying, but as a genuine concern? It's like, hey, I'm picking up the signs here that you're worried about the debt level, and I can understand that. And I worry about it too, you know, perhaps, if she's saying that. And how should we handle that? What do you want to do about that? That's a legitimate thing to talk about.
Yeah, but, you know, it's so hard when you're in the middle of the situation because, well, you know, as many of our viewers and listeners know, my background is not as a therapist, it's in education. And as an educator and principal and teacher, over the years, I've seen many, many single mothers who opted to go ahead and have a child with men that probably were not on the same level as them, either socially, socioeconomically, I hate to use the word class-wise, but, you know, that's what it seems that we're talking about here with Tom, who didn't finish college. She's a graduate school person. And none of the women who I've met, you know, who would, you know, say to me, I regretted having this child. They all said that they did not regret having the child. What they regretted was having that guy for the father, because he caused more tsuris, more aggravation and pain in their lives than you can even imagine.
Yeah.
They've been constant. And this is like not just one person. This is many women who have been in and out of court. They have had to take on major legal debts to fight with the guy. They don't like the way that his family is raising their child, you know, the grandchild, you know, when there are other grandparents involved. If I don't know if religion is a problem here, I was in a Jewish setting, so there were a lot of intermarriages. So I don't know what this one is about, but if religion is a problem, it gets magnified. Everything gets magnified.
From
the toys you're buying your kid to the way you're parenting.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll throw in broaden it a little bit in terms of you saw it in the context of religion/culture. You know, more generally, if you're talking about the degree to which people value things, you know, value systems like education. It's interesting, though, because she's implying, and again, we're kind of reading between the lines here, but she's implying her own parents aren't super supportive of the whole education thing either.
Right.
So that, interestingly enough, that might not be as big a difference as it is in some of the situations you're describing. You know,
everything from not just that, but even mobility. If she wants to move out of state, not going to be able to happen. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, all these little things that you don't think about that suddenly become so clear 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, it's like, I can't move, you know?
Well, and this
I can't take a job someplace else because, you know, I'm tied to this guy.
I mean, this is all predicated on her decision about having the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's interesting because, yeah, so if she has the baby, all of those considerations come into play if she breaks up with Tom. Now, again, I'm still sitting here thinking I wouldn't write off this relationship.
Yeah, no, yet. I'm just saying if she breaks up with Tom, if they stay together, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if she's seeing red flags now with Tom, like I said, there are, unless he's like this great guy that can really turn this around, and he might be, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know Tom.
That's the interesting part. We don't know Tom. And I, you know, I suppose that's the part I'm sort of pointing out, you know, it's so easy to look at this situation. And again, especially when you've seen lots of seemingly, you know, parallel situations and kind of write off Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, yeah, that doesn't tend to help Terry to write off Tom. That's the part, you know, there's the therapist.
No,
part.
It doesn't help to write him off, but she should be aware of all of the situations that can arise. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had to go to court and testify for, you know, several women in cases like these where, you know, it's not pretty. In fact, it's really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to put a damper on Terry while she's pregnant and has all these decisions to make, but she needs clarity on what she needs to do to make
this work. Does. And that's the part, again, I don't know that they've explored that. Now, I get, because of the pregnancy, there's this time pressure.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't, you know, imagine if, and I realize this is sort of an artificial thing to do, but let's take the pregnancy question out of it, which is to say, let's figure, okay, she's decided what to do about the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Either she's ended it, or she's decided to keep it, or she's decided to give up the baby for adoption or whatever. All very different decisions all. But let's just assume, okay, well, that's not in question now. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, does she want to marry Tom? Does she want to go ahead with a wedding and marry him?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would say, if in now they're at a place, they're at a really nice sort of nodal point, you know, a place of decision, because if she can have these conversations with him, I've worked with couples where they haven't, you know, where it hasn't worked, you know, I have worked with couples like you have those stories, you know, those sort of horror stories. And I've seen some of the horror stories too. Mm-hmm. I've also seen couples where they can turn this around,
mm-hmm.
where Tom is able to see, you know, a guy like Tom might be somebody who could say, yeah, I'm sorry for the snide comments. I guess I'm really worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine? And she's saying, hey, I get it. I worry about it too. We ought to talk about this. Well, how are we going to do this financial thing? You know, I'm going to have a baby. Let's say she's going to have a baby.
Right.
I'm going to have a baby and I'm not going to be able to earn as much as you. And she said, he's got a good job, you know, has a good job, makes a good living.
Makes a good living.
That's all to the good. And look, some of those horror stories you hear, the guy doesn't have a good job or make a good living.
Right.
The guy sort of relied on the woman with the better education to earn a lot of money, and he was playing video games all day. So, you know, there's that.
Some. Not all.
Exactly. Of course, not all. So yeah, that's really the point. You know, we don't know whether Tom is somebody who can rise to the occasion here. And what I'm noting is that for that to happen, Terry needs to rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And here, of course, boy, what a segue into my favorite little shtick about stability and intimacy, right? Terry's going to have to tolerate the anxiety of intimacy, which is to say, and again, I'm not blaming her or blaming him. I'm just observing, she's going to need to take seriously his concerns, even though he hasn't been nice about how he's expressed them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? In spite of that, she could get all offended about that and feel very unsupported, all understandable. But if she can rise above that and say, I see he's scared. I can relate to that. You know, this is the same thing I talked about when I mentioned when I was touting my book about, you know, my husband's complaints about my cleaning.
Right.
My chapter on how to get a reluctant guy to go to couples therapy
and
guys speaking as one. I mean, look, women can be jerks too, but guys we have our own special ways of being jerks, I think. And I'm being a little silly about it. But that phenomenon that we tend to be reluctant to go to couples therapy, and women will, you know, the frustrated women involved will be thinking, he's just a jerk, or he doesn't care about me, or, and look, sometimes that's true, frankly, in which case, all right, bad guy, dump him, you know. Mostly it's not true.
Yeah.
Mostly, do you remember the punchline? Why won't the likes of us go to couples therapy?
Because you're terrified.
That's it. And I like how you said that, because you've heard my video version of that chapter, mm-hmm. where I put in echo, he's terrified. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. I put in reverb on that. Yeah, he's terrified. Because we get scared, we men, we get scared.
Yeah.
And we don't say we're scared usually. Mm-hmm. We just get angry, or right. we put you down, or we get all logical, you mm-hmm. know, and reasonable. And do snide comments, and it's infuriating.
Yeah.
But if she can get past the infuriating part, she can see, oh my God, I guess I could just relate to it. Can't you, you know, can you imagine marrying somebody with massive debt and you're going to be a joint financial unit? It's kind of scary.
It is scary.
I don't know if you were smiling because, look, there was a little bit of debt when we got together. It wasn't massive, folks. I just have to say, when I married you, my financial situation got better, not worse. That's lovely. I mean, that just made it easier. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to marry you right from the get-go when we fell in love. I wasn't about, oh, let's live together to avoid, you know, mm-hmm. being a financial unit. I wanted the whole package.
Yes,
you did. So did you. So mm-hmm. there we were. But imagine that situation with somebody who's just under a crushing debt load.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who's in graduate school coming from parents who don't value education much.
Yeah.
She probably didn't get much or any help from her parents.
Probably not.
And so she's...
So it sounds like in addition to sitting down with a couples therapist, they need to sit down with a financial planner too.
Wouldn't be a bad plan. Exactly. And all of that, you know, just the decision to do that
mm-hmm.
implies a... tolerance of some anxiety, which is to say, implies that they can up their game with respect to intimacy.
Right. Well, you know, she's a 26-year-old woman. So in other words, she's got to put on her grown-up pants here, as does Tom.
Yep.
And they have, you know, childhood's now over,
mm-hmm.
and we have to be grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
They have to adult.
They have to adult, yes. And adulting is hard.
Adulting is hard.
It is indeed.
Especially when you've spent a lot of time, you know, kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And understandably, you know, there they were, okay. So, you know, there's their solution. They need to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds harsh, and I don't mean it in a harsh way. I mean it in a loving way.
Yeah, in an adult way. That's how they have to approach it, rather than, you know, the put downs and what am I going to do? It's like, okay, we got to get serious now.
Yeah, exactly. And I would hope, and again, I'm filling in some hopeful blanks here, you know, about Tom, really. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining something about Tom that, okay, he's good job, makes a good living, stand-up guy, she's pregnant, of course I'll marry you, mm-hmm. you know? Okay, mm-hmm. that to me says, all right, you're not a complete jerk. You're capable of being jerk, everybody is, but you're not a complete jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the snide comments aren't very nice. Mm-hmm. You can do better, but whatever. Do we not all do that on some level?
We all do it.
So... You know, in that sense, that's what I'm saying. So just to focus and say, oh, my God, dump him, red flags. No, I don't think so. If she had seen that, she would be doing that.
Right. No, I'm not saying dump him. I'm just saying red flags.
Yeah.
But there's two ways you can go, dump or deal.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So if you're going to dump, that's, you know, easy. Yes. There you go. Deal, that takes a little bit more of your energy.
It takes a lot more. It takes willingness to tolerate anxiety. Yeah, or to say that in, you know, non-therapy terms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable.
You're going to have to deal with that and actually have difficult conversations. But
it can make for a deeper relationship.
It can. And the good news here is, if indeed they both rise to that occasion, or even if just Terry does,
mm-hmm.
and that invites Tom to, and I've seen it happen. Here's your hopeful story, folks. I have seen that happen with people. You know, this is another example of why I think I've said this before. I never, as far as I am, I don't consciously predict, oh, how's this couple going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'll have the passing thought, but I know it's nonsense. You know, I don't know how a couple's going to do, because they sometimes surprise you pleasantly or unpleasantly, for that matter.
Yeah.
You just don't know. And this is an example of that. What she needs now, should they go to couples therapy? Of course they should, you know, but he may or may not agree to that. You know, the some of the same folks who wouldn't value, I don't want to be so dismissive to say wouldn't value education,
right?
Who aren't necessarily thinking just because you're going to graduate school, that's going to help you, you know?
Right.
Those same folks might feel similarly about therapy, and I don't blame them. They have a point, you know? Mm-hmm. There's therapy they could go to that wouldn't do them a damn bit of good.
True.
And there's therapy they go to that maybe would do them a lot of good, and I hope they would be the latter, not the former, but mm-hmm. they'd have to see. But if they can rise to the occasion, that's what I say, the hopeful story. I've seen couples heal and be so much better off for having gone through the crisis than they were before.
Mm.
And wouldn't that be lovely if that's what can happen for them? Now, just to round out this conversation about this, I'll go back and revisit the facts. You know, we got this letter 4 years ago. I hope you're doing great. If you hear this, I have no idea. And, you know, I don't know if somebody, an anonymous person who wrote into our blog would and even know about our podcast.
Yeah.
I hope you do. So Terry, whoever you are, because that's, I'm sure that's not your real name. Whoever you are out there, or if you're somebody in this situation, I hope you hear this and I hope you derive some hope from it. You'll work this out. There's a way you can work this out.
Yeah.
So let's,
I hope that was helpful, Terry. And indeed. If you're listening, let us know how things turned out.
Yeah. So that was a question we got from a listener.
Mm-hmm.
There's your segue.
So if you have a question that you would like us to talk about on the air, go to our website, ctn7.com, and write to us.
And when you go to ctn7.com, that's where, as I mentioned early in this episode, if you click on the box that says sign up for Dr. Chalmers' newsletter, that's when you will get free of charge a link for the PDF version of this lovely book that I'm holding up, which is 7 words to jumpstart
your love life.
Yes, indeed. Right. And you can do that and get that absolutely free, or you can go to Amazon and buy it. Let's put in some words. Let's just hold up the other books while we're at it. The first book of the series and the second book of the series.
Wow. Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And
It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy is Wrong.
Indeed. And then the one additional one more recently is the one.
My husband complains about my cleaning. What do I do? Hint, it's not about cleaning.
Yep. And I mentioned, actually all of those books are available in your favorite formats. They're available as ebooks. They're available as the paperbacks that we were holding up, and they are available as audiobooks,
mm-hmm.
which I did the narration for, and the feedback I get from those, and they sell, should I say, surprisingly well? I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's funny. I'm not an audiobook guy
myself.
No,
we're not audio people.
We're not really audio people. We've done a little bit, but yeah. There are people who just love that format. Including one of my sons, by the way.
Yeah.
And I was going to send him the book and he said, can you send me the,
send me the audio.
He got a freebie, by the way. If you're one of my kids, you get the freebies. Man, people love it.
I know.
And I think I do a nice job with the narration.
Your dulcet tones.
My dulcet tones, yes. Indeed. And let's put in another word for this podcast. Here you are. You're enjoying. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, it would be lovely if you tell everybody else that you're enjoying this podcast by giving us a rating and subscribing and
following, liking, sharing
all of that stuff from our social media posts.
Mm-hmm.
And let folks know about it. And that seems to be what people are doing because our numbers have continued to go up, which mm-hmm. is really fun for us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And so until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.